I want you to open your Bibles with me, first of all, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and then in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, we commence reading down there at the verse number 1, just the first verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And then John's Gospel in the chapter 14. And we read just one verse. It's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse number 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. It must have been a wonderful occasion when Peter, James, and John went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there upon that mount we find that the Lord Jesus was transfigured before him, and the Bible says his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And then there appeared unto them, and that's unto Jesus, Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with him. You see, the Lord Jesus was the center of all the attraction. Jesus Christ was the center of it all. Whenever Peter heard this, and he had this wonderful privilege of standing there, the Bible says, he says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And he said, Lord, if you will, let us make three tabernacles. Let us make one for thee. Let us make one for Moses. Let us make one for Elias. And as he spake, the Bible says, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then mark these words, hear ye him. And friend, I want us to hear nobody else tonight, but I want to do what God commanded us to do, just to hear him. And that's where we come to John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, he said, and hear him, it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he said this, No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And it is the first statement that I want us to think about tonight. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way. Listen, friend, God says, hear him. And I want you to listen what God says and what the Holy Spirit of God says and what the Savior says concerning that statement where the Lord Jesus says, he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now, there's some things I want to say about. First of all, he's the only way. He said, I am the way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And friend, if you want to know the way to heaven, if you want to know the way of God's salvation, if you want to know what it is to be pardoned from your sin and to know God's peace in your heart, listen, hear ye him. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, he is the only way. I remember years ago, whenever we were living in Highfield, many, many years ago, and there was a security alarm one night, and I remember well these two police officers coming to the door. I remember one was a Roman Catholic sergeant and another of his colleagues, and actually, in fact, the other one was a believer. And so we invited them in, and they came, and it was rather late, and but we offered them a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, whatever they wanted, and we started to talk. And so we started, and of course, the conversation got unto salvation. I remember well an illustration which I never forgot that night, because that Roman Catholic police sergeant, we're sitting there and conversing the one with the other, and we were talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the sergeant saying this to me. Well, he said, Mr. McCrae, you take it your way and I'll take it mine. And then he gave me an illustration, and this is what he said. He went over to the door. And when he went over to the door, he pointed to the top part of the door. And he said, let's, for example, look, and this is where we want to get to. He said, we want to get to the top of the door. And I can remember him pointing clearly to the top part of the door. And he said, listen, I want you to notice this. He said, here's where we want to arrive to. And he said, here's you, and you're going up that side of the door. And he says, you go along there, and you arrive at that spot. Yes, you get to where you're going. And he said, but here is me, and I come up this side of the door. You see, I come a different than you. But he says, I come up here, and I cross along there, but I get to the same place. He says, preacher, you take it your way. And he said, preacher, I'll take it mine. But listen, we're both trying to get to the same place. And I stopped him in his track and I said to that police sergeant, I said, sir, there's something wrong here. You remember, it's God's heaven. And the Word of God says, I am, the Lord Jesus said, and God says, hear him. In other words, you better listen to him. And he said, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the light. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is, by Jesus. Friend, listen, he's the only way. And friend, it's not a matter of him taking his way and me taking mine. It's what's God's way. What's God's way to God's heaven? Many years ago, there was a Roman Catholic teacher attended a gospel service, a gospel mission. After the meeting was over, the preacher spoke to that lady, and they had a very good conversation as they spoke together in their conversation, and they talked together. The preacher asked her, what prompted you to come to the meeting tonight? And the woman in reply, that teacher said to the preacher, she said, you know, sir, I know God, but I know nothing about Jesus, and I want to learn about Jesus. Preacher replied to that teacher that night, and he said, madam, but you can't know God without Jesus. You can't know God without Jesus. And friend, that is true. You can know about a God, but you'll never know the living and the true God, because listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. You see, he's the only way. The Lord Jesus didn't say, listen, I am a way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. Listen to what he said. God said, listen, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Oh, there's many other voices out there. There are many others that will tell you, listen, try this way, try that way. Jesus says, listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's but by Jesus. He is the only way. The only way. Paul, as he writes to young Timothy, his son in the faith, he said to him, listen, he says, Timothy, there is one God. And he says, there's but one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. And as Dr. Luke was writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, it is recorded there in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter said, listen, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other way of salvation, my friend. There is no one else that you can find God's salvation and God's pardon and God's peace within your soul, or the cleansing of your sin. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Let me tell you, friend, in light of God's clear declaration here, to look for another way, it's like a man who's got a brain tumor and he asks a witch doctor to operate instead of the brain surgeon. And you say, what a fool. What a fool. My friend, the devil is fooling you out of life if you're here tonight and you're relying on anyone else to get you to heaven. If you're looking to some other way to get you to heaven, you'll never, ever, ever be there.
Because He's the only way. Secondly, He's not only the only way, friend, He's the planned way. You turn with me to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and we find it's the day of Pentecost. And when that day of Pentecost was fully come, and the Holy Ghost came down and anointed His children just to present the gospel, and Peter stood up amongst that people, and he started to preach. And we find in Acts chapter 2, and you go to verse number, in Acts chapter 20, or 2, verse 22, it says this, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Mark this, verse 23. Him, that's Jesus. "Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." And Peter there, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, friend, as he preaches, he explains the cross, both in the wickedness of man, but in the infinite love of God. Listen, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You see, the death of Christ, the cross of Christ, friend, wasn't a mistake. The cross and death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary was determined by God Almighty the Father as the only way whereby sinful man could be redeemed and cleansed and freed from his sin. It was the planned way. You go back into the Old Testament, go to the great prophecy of Isaiah in the chapter 53 where it speaks about He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And my friend, it tells us about the cross. Hundreds of years before Calvary, how did it paint the scene of the cross? Because my friend, it was in the determinate counsel of God. It was in the sovereign purpose and plan of God. Calvary was not a mistake. Calvary was the sovereign purpose whereby God Himself, a just and a righteous God, could justify sinful, lost humanity by the giving of His Son and the shedding of the Savior's precious, precious blood. When I read Isaiah chapter 53, or when I go to the 22nd chapter of the book of the Psalms, friend, and I read that great psalm about the Lord Jesus and the sufferings of Christ, and I read those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it speaks about they pierced his hands and his feet. And whenever I read that, I remember this fact. It proves beyond doubt that my salvation and the way of my salvation was at the very heart of God's eternal purpose and God's sovereign will. Before I was ever born, before man was ever created, thank God in the sovereign plan, it was God's planned way. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us there in the verse number 18, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Mark this, verse 20, 1 Peter 1:20. "Who verily," or truly, "who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you who by Him do believe in God." My friend, listen, Calvary was not a mistake. Before God created this world, and friend, listen, look at God's creation. Didn't he create it meticulously? Think of all of God's creation. You know, people sometimes stand amazed when they think about God's creation. Look at the beauty of the flowers. Look at the majesty of the hills and the mountains of God's creation. And yet, my friend, do you ever think of something even more wonderful? That when God created the world, He did it so carefully. Listen to me carefully now. That when God created this earth, He did it so meticulously and so carefully that the distance the earth is from the sun is exactly right to give our planet its correct temperature to sustain human life. It's the exact distance for God to do it. In actual fact, here we see the foolishness of man. Because there's an awful talk today about the ozone layer. Let me tell you, friend, when God put that ozone layer there, and God put a barrier, this is the meticulous workings of God's creation. And the foolishness of man when he tries to fool around and tries to play with God's creation. But when God put that ozone layer there, that barrier there, God put it there 40 miles above the earth. Imagine that. 40 miles above the earth, God put it in to protect us from the sun's killer rays. And then they tell us today, but because of the foolishness of man, they're breaking through the ozone layer. And they're talking about the climate change that's going to turn things in his head because of what man is seeking to do to play around with God's meticulous plan of creation. Let me tell you, friend, man can neither play around with God's creation, neither can he play around with God's salvation without paying the price. And all the scientists of the world are talking about what is going to happen. And because of the climate change, what is going to happen in the climate of the world? And all the revolution is going to be made because man is destroying the ozone layer. Man is playing around and playing a fool with what God has meticulously planned in his creation. Friend, let me tell you, man cannot fool around or play with God's salvation. Why did God plan it this way? Jesus says, listen, I am the way. Why did God plan it this way? Simply for this, my friend. Because God planned it this way because he loved you. For God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, he is the only way. Secondly, he is the planned way. Thirdly, he is the unique way. I love that verse over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It says there in Ephesians chapter 2 in the verse number 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And whenever we think about God's way, friend, here it is a unique way because it's all of grace. It's all of grace. In other words, it's the undeserved, it is the unmerited favor of God. You and I don't deserve to be saved. There is not a man can look into the face of Almighty God and say, God, I deserve to be in heaven because, my friend, the only reason I'll get there is glory to God because I'm saved by the grace of God. All man tries to do is complicate the way of salvation, friend. It's God's unique way. And how man tries to complicate it is this. He tries to add to it or he tries to take from it. And man, by the foolishness of his imagination, he adds to it the falsehoods of the cults. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they add to and destroy the Word of God in the way that God has provided. The Mormons, they add to and seek to destroy the old gospel of Jesus Christ. The Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and by their rituals and by all that they add to, would seek to destroy God's simple plan of salvation. My friend, listen, it is God's unique way. God has planned it. It is the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, any man that adds to God's simple plan of salvation about the efforts of man and telling us about the religions and the rituals, all they're seeking to do is to try and destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what Paul said? In Galatians chapter 1, he said, listen, if any man come and preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, he said, let him be accursed. He said, if even a very angel came from heaven, you can read it, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Even if an angel was to leave heaven, friend, and come down into this earth and preach any other gospel than the gospel of redeeming grace through Christ and Christ alone, and through the cross and the shedding of his precious blood, the Bible says, let him be accursed. And what that means is this, is let him be damned. Or it simply means, let him be condemned or let him go to hell. That's how serious it is to fool around. And there are false teachers tonight. And they're trying to take away and they're trying to add to the gospel of God's salvation. Listen, my friend, God's way of salvation, it is a unique way, for it is by grace you're saved. Through faith. It is not of works. But praise God, it's a salvation that works. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. In 1976, a plane containing 244 passengers were hijacked. And I can remember it vaguely. I can remember the news coming on as this plane was hijacked and was flown to Entebbe Airport. And on that plane, whenever they came down in the Entebbe Airport, those 244 passengers were grounded there, and then they took out the Jewish members of the passengers. And they separated the Jews from the rest of the 244, and then they set them aside, and then they threatened them with death. Because of the anxiety that certainly went through the land of Israel, friend, the Israeli government and the Israeli army planned what was regarded the most daring and the most imaginative plan of any government in their day to deliver those Jewish people from captivity. Of course, the secret of their plan was this. This unique plan, this daring plan, the secret was this. That it had to be kept totally, absolutely and completely secret. It was the secrecy. And so we find that indeed they arrived there and they delivered the Jewish people there from that captivity. And they rescued them in a daring effort because the plan was completely unknown. Let me tell you, friend. God Almighty designed another plan. Far greater than the Jewish authorities, far greater than the Israeli army. Because you and I were lost and bound and fettered by our sin, and the threat of a righteous and a holy law of God demanded that sin, when it is finished, would bring forth death. But God in His sovereignty designed a unique plan whereby He would rescue us from the power of our sin. And He did it by the giving of His Son. But the wonderful thing about God's plan is this, friend. He told everybody about it. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But this bold plan of God, friend, this unique plan of God, God told mankind, way back there in the book of Genesis, God said that Messiah would come, the mighty deliverer would come, and He would deliver that which was lost from the power of their sin. I tell you, nothing could be compared to the unique plan of God because God devised it. It said the Father thought it. The Son bought it. The Holy Spirit brought it. Glory to God, the sinner got it. God's salvation. You see, it is the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, the only way. But it was the planned way. Then it was the unique way. But listen, it's something else. It's the personal way. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, and once again is speaking. He's on the Sermon on the Mount. And in that 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus says this. Mark this, verse 13, 14. He said this, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice the wide gate. Notice it's a broad way, friend. And it says, many there be that go in thereat. And in actual fact, listen, we all pass through that gate. We were all walking down that way. By nature, every one of us, we pass through that gate. And we were on the broad road. And the Bible says that the broad road, in verse 13, that leadeth to destruction. But the road is crowded. It's a crowded road. It's as many there be there. The multitudes of humanity are upon that way. That broad way. Through the wide gate. And it's leading to destruction. But notice the next verse. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And friend, in reality, that straight gate is something like what we would know as a turnstile. And the Bible says, and few there be that find it. Listen, and in the turnstile, listen to me carefully, there is only one point at which you can enter. And you go in one by one. And friend, that's true. There is only one point at which you can enter, and that is you must come as a sinner to the cross. For it's at Calvary's cross alone that the sinner can enter through that straight gate and go on to that narrow way. And friend, let me tell you, you don't go there in crowds. The Bible says, listen, and few there be that find it, because having come to that point, we have got to enter into it, and we enter it one at a time. And it's the same for every one of us. It says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, but it leadeth unto life. It is the personal way. You know, because your mother saved, young fella, that'll not take you to the pearly gates of glory. Because your father's redeemed by precious blood, young lassie, that won't take you to heaven. You've got to come personally. You've got to enter in at that one point by coming by faith to the cross and taking your place as a guilty, hell-deserving, lost and guilty sinner and acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the way. And my friend, you enter in by faith. And you enter through that straight gate, that turnstile gate. And you enter personally. And you walk the narrow way. But it leadeth unto life. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you personally come to Christ? Have you personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, God doesn't save in crowds, friends. Listen, He saves in individuals just one by one. He was passing with a crowd one day. And he was passing under a tree, and there was a man up the tree. And Jesus Christ, although there were multitudes around him, Jesus said to him, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. He was going into the city of Jericho one day, and sitting there at the side, there was a man. Yes, the crowds were still with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was a man crying out. And the Lord Jesus stopped in the crowd, and he says, Bartimaeus. And he called him by name. The Lord Jesus stood in a graveyard one day. And as the Lord Jesus stood in the graveyard and the tears, the beady teardrops fell down his cheeks, for the Bible says Jesus wept. But as Jesus stood in that graveyard that day, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Tell me, friend, why did you do that? Because you've got to come one by one. He calls the sinner personally. He calls the sinner individually. He calls you by name. It's the personal way. Enter ye, not they. Is enter ye in at the straight gate. But something else, friends, listen. Glory to God, it's a sure way. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, God says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm glad that God tells me clearly, friend, there's only one powerful Savior. I'm glad there weren't two or three, because God's saying, listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if there were alternative ways, then we couldn't be certain, have we got the best? We couldn't be certain if we'd ever make it. I remember a preacher friend of mine, he was one day visiting the doctor, and when he was visiting the doctor, he was with a cardiologist, and he was told by the cardiologist that he had a serious heart complaint. He would have to have an operation. He'd have the surgery in the heart. And that friend had got many good friends that were doctors, some in his own congregation. And they were doctors, friend, but listen, he couldn't let them operate. And the reason why he couldn't let them operate, because they weren't skilled to operate on the heart. Now, they had a lot of knowledge, they had a lot of brains. But tell me, his heart complaint demanded he wanted the one that was skilled, the one that was trained. In other words, he wanted the right one. He wanted the best one. He didn't want someone to fool around with his heart complaint, friend. He wanted the best. I want to tell you, friend, your problem is too serious for you to fool around with anything else or anyone else but Jesus. The problem of your sin. No other man, no other person, listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. Listen to God's word, my friend. Heed the warning of God and the direction and the commandment of the Spirit of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, for example. 1 John chapter 5, the first epistle of John, the 5th chapter. Let me read from verse number 11. Here's what it says. "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life," listen carefully, "is in His Son." 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. "This is the record," listen, "that God hath given to us eternal life, and this eternal life," listen, where do you get it? Where do you find it? "This life is in His Son." And then the Word of God says, go to verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life." What life are we talking about? We're talking about eternal life. "This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. This life is in a Son. He that hath a Son hath life." But mark the next part of the verse. "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." He that hath not the Son of God. Listen, friend, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have not the Son of God, then you have not eternal life. And if you have not eternal life, then your life in this old world is going to come to an end. And instead of life, you're going into death. And when you die in your sin, where Christ is, you'll never be. And you'll be eternally lost. Eternally lost in hell. Verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye might know," that ye might know "that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God." Listen, can I ask you simply tonight, listen, do you know that ye have eternal life? It's not one day we'll have it, listen, it's a present possession. Thank God it is a sure way. Hallelujah. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," listen to these words, "shall be saved." Hallelujah. It's as sure as if I was there. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, "And I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." Glory to God, I'm safe in Jesus. I'm safe in Christ, friend, because listen, he that hath the Son of God hath life eternal. But he that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. It's an awful thing to be without Jesus tonight. An awful thing to be traveling down the road of life, friend, and just going on heedless and careless. And then in a moment to be called out into God's eternity. You've never known the Son of God. You've never experienced the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, that's the only where you can find it. You see, the gift doesn't merely come from Jesus, friend. It's in Jesus. And this is life eternal. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Yes, friend, listen. It's the only way. Thank God it's the planned way. It's the unique way. It's the personal way. It's the sure way. Glory to God, it's the happy way. It's the happy way. Psalm 1. In Psalm 1 it says, "Blessed or happy is a man." Happy is a man. You want to be a happy person? You want to know real happiness and real contentment in your soul? The Bible says, "Blessed or happy is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He standeth not in the way of sinners, and he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Praise God. It's a happy way. You know, we live in a world tonight with so much pressure. For many people today, happiness is just a fleeting illusion, because they don't know what contentment or happiness really is. But the happy man is a man that trusts in the Lord. He standeth not, he sitteth not, he walketh not in the way of the sinner, the scorner, the deceitful. But he's happy in the law of the Lord. He's happy in Jesus. He's happy in Christ. He has found eternal life in Christ, and glory to God. He's happy in the Lord. He's happy because his greatest problem has been dealt with. His sin has been removed, never to be remembered against him anymore. He's happy because he has peace within the soul that man can never destroy. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. He's happy because his present is secure. And hallelujah, his future is safe. That make you happy? That's true happiness, friend. Blessed or happy is the man. His delight is in the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. But friend, the final thought I want to leave you tonight is the wrong way. In Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 it says these words, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death." It's a way that seems right. You see, Jesus says, listen, "I am the way." That's the right way. "But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man." You see, there are people say to me, "Preacher, I don't believe that Jesus is the only way. I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't believe that the blood of Jesus can cleanse me from my sin. But I believe that I'll try my best and do the best I can, and that's all that God would expect of me. And I'll make it my way."
Listen to God, friend.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And though you might comfort yourself that you're doing not too bad and you're as good as anybody else, and well, you'll make it out all right. Let me tell you, here's what God says. The end thereof. The end thereof. You see, you'll come to the end of your way, friend.
And the end of your way, it's the way of death. It's hell. It's wrath. It's eternal punishment. It's the place of the damned.
Thank God you can be saved tonight. Thank God you can be saved by the grace of God. I was reading the story the other day about Samuel Hadley. He was the superintendent of the Water Street Mission. And one of the old drunkards that used to come into that mission on a cold night, usually, the old colonel, he would come into the mission and the old colonel used to be a partner in a law firm. But the booze got a hold of his life and destroyed his life and destroyed his business. And he was thrown out of the law firm and he started down Skid Row because of his sin. Samuel Hadley, as I said, was the superintendent of the Water Street Mission, and the old drunkards would come in off the street and there they would hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one night, Mr. Hadley, after he had spoken, the old drunkard colonel, he beckoned to Hadley. Could he stay? It was so cold outside. Hadley had no room, and so therefore he said, "No, I can't." And 1 o'clock in the morning, the old colonel knocked the door of Hadley's home again, knocked the mission up, and when Hadley opened the door, there was the old colonel standing there. He said, "Sir, it's so cold out here. Could you not let me in?" Hadley says, "I'm sorry, sir. I've no room." The old colonel took the old stick he was leaning on, and he went down there to the Brooklyn Bridge. And there in the Brooklyn Bridge, the old man just lay down one of the piers, shivering and freezing, the coldness of the night. Hadley went back to bed, but he couldn't sleep. He thought of the old colonel. He thought of a precious soul. 3 o'clock in the morning, Hadley could take it no more, and Sam Hadley got up and he dressed himself and he put on his overcoat and went into the coldness of the night. And when he went into the coldness of the night, he went looking for the old colonel and he found him huddled there under the bridge near one of the piers. He took him by the arm and lifted him up. Brought him back to the house. He washed him. Give him a bath. You know what else he did? He gave him his bed. The only place to stay. And he put the old colonel in his own bed. The next night, the colonel came to the meeting, friend. The word of God was faithfully preached that Christ was the answer and Christ was the only way to heaven. And when the appeal was made at the end of the meeting, the old colonel stepped up from the back of a mission there in Water Street Mission. And he walked down the aisle and he knelt to the altar. And he cried on God to save him. You know, as he rose that night, he was a new man. Not long after that, old colonel went back to the law firm. Started back to his work again.
and he became an active Christian to the day he died. You know what he found out?
He found out Christ is the only way. Listen.
This is my beloved Son, said the Father. Hear ye him. What does he say, friend? Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's my question. Will you heed him? Will you come to him? Will you come to him now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Thank you for the message. It's so clear that Jesus, thy lovely Son, is the only answer to our sin. We thank thee that thou hast provided a remedy. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Oh, that men and women would cry. Oh, that young people would cry out tonight. I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Give them grace, O God, to come. Call with that effectual call of thy grace this night for Jesus' sake. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's sing a little verse. Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you? Young fellow, will you come to Jesus? Let him break sin's chains and set you free. Young lady, will you come to Christ? And let him satisfy your soul. Mom and Dad, will you let go of your sinful past and let the blood of Jesus cleanse you and make you clean? O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, as we sing the verse. You say, preacher, lead me to Jesus. Would you slip that hand above your head, friend, as we sing the verse? Indicate that desire. I want to come to Christ. I want to know my sins forgiven. I want to know peace within my heart. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one tonight in the service? Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you lift that hand toward heaven? Indicate the desire that you want to be saved. Want to be sure of heaven tonight? Lamb of God, I come. As our mother, father, son, or daughter, in the closing seconds, would you just lift that hand now that I see it? I come. Just as I am, and waiting not the final invitation, we're singing it for you. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul. Is there one in the closing seconds of our meeting tonight? To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. You come tonight? Just lift that hand above your head wherever you are in the service tonight. Let God do the rest. Let the Lord take over. Just let go and let God take control. Jesus Christ, the only way. We're here to help you, friend. I'll be in the minister's room. You can make your way through the door at the front here or through the side door, but please don't go away without Jesus. I beg you in God's name, don't go away without Christ. He's the only answer. He's the only way. You'll never make it to heaven without Him. Oh God, I thank You for Your precious word. I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt make it real to those that are still dead in trespasses and sin. For those that have wandered, O God, I pray that they might run back to Jesus. And Lord, just claim afresh that cleansing and that peace that only Christ can bring. For those who are listening in tonight, Lord, I pray that You'll give deciding grace that we might hear of precious souls even across this world that are bowing their heads before Thee and yielding their hearts to the claims of Christ. Separate with Your blessing. In Jesus' name.